This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. See if Michael Thompson expects AD to play tonight, and father knows best. After all, he raised three professional athletes, all at the highest level. Klay Thompson's daddy, Michael Thompson. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Well, this has not been the series for the home team, the Clippers and the Mavs. The road team wins every game. Luka gives them 42, 14, and 8, and sets the all-time record being involved in over 83.8% of the Mavericks points. That's the highest such percentage in the history of the NBA, not just the playoffs, regular season or playoffs. And he did it with nerve damage in his neck against a team with two wings who are known as all-world defensive players, where his second banana, Kristaps Porzingis, only scored 8 points on the road in a win, and then in a playoff series that they're supposed to lose four consecutive games because they're hurt and the role players aren't contributing enough and the Clippers have finally figured it out as the underdog in the playoffs. And then he had this to say at the post-game presser.
I mean, I could have played way better, you know. I missed a lot of shots, some layups that I should have made. But it wasn't just me, man. It was the whole team, the energy. Dora was unbelievable. DP, I mean, Dwight Powell with his energy. KP with a big shot. Timmy with a big shot, you know. And the whole team was just there bringing up the energy.
Right after the game, he says he wasn't any good at the end and he could have been much better in. Credits Dorian Finney-Smith, who, I don't know, I said, finished with 6 points, for his overall play as the key reason they won. Is there a more valuable commodity in the NBA than Luka? Well, he hasn't proven he's better than LeBron. Yeah, that's true, although he's been playing better recently. He's 22, Luka Doncic. He's 22 years old and he's doing this. It's almost like, when Magic entered the league, he entered the league and he was listed as a shooting guard because the Lakers had Norm Nixon. They had a very good point guard, all-star point guard. So he's listed as a shooting guard, but he ran the offense as much as anyone. And Magic was 19 years old, won a championship in college against Larry Bird. And when he gets in the league, Magic, at the age of 20, because he turned 20 during the season, is in a game six against the Sixers. Darryl Dawkins is a center. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the MVP of the league that year, gets hurt. Can't play. Magic jumps at center. Gives him 42, 15, and 7, and the Lakers win. Think about that for a second. As a 20-year-old. But Magic's game was incomplete still. He was crazy clutch, all-time great passer already. Such a great, super great player. I mean, you do that at the age of 20. Come on. You're a point guard. You jump at center. You drop 42, 15, and 7, and at up 3-2, and you win the finals? Come on. Nothing like that had ever been done before, or since. But Magic's game was not as complete as Larry Bird's back then. He was not as good a defender. He was not nearly as good a shooter or scorer. And Bird was almost the passer, Magic was. Almost same court vision. So, Luka, not that he's done what Magic did yet, nor what Bird did. Like, you know, Bird wound up a three-time MVP. Was it three consecutive MVPs? Like, there was a time when Bird reached a level of dominance in the NBA in my lifetime, behind only Jordan and LeBron, as like the alpha male of the NBA, the unquestioned best player. People forget that now because Magic kept getting better and better, and then Bird hurt his back, and then Magic took over before Jordan. But there was a time when Bird was the man. Luka is almost like a combination of Magic and Bird. He doesn't shoot it well enough yet, but he takes a lot of threes and he can get his own shot the way Harden can. And he's 6'7", 6'8", and he controls the pace of the game. What Draymond said on the broadcast is exactly right. Draymond's very good on TV, by the way. What he said on the broadcast is exactly right. He refuses to be sped up. Luka plays the game at his pace, and that's the pace the game is going to be played at. He's got that Magic Johnson, what, he's only how old, and he's already doing this in the playoffs? And he's got that Larry Bird, like, oh, he can control, can entirely control the game through his passing and his shooting. It's a pro. Is there a more valuable commodity? Well, Harden is better. Okay, but Harden's 10 years older. LeBron's better, maybe, but, I mean, yeah, okay. But LeBron is near the end. Zion has more athletic ability, and he's all, you know, he's right on schedule. Yeah, okay, but he may be still several years away from being an MVP caliber player. Luka's that right now. Trae Young, by the way. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Trae Young. Trae Young's an easy guy to like. Even if you're a Knicks fan, you realize he's playing the role of antagonist. They're cursing him out at the Garden. Does he respond in kind? No, he gives him the shh. He finishes his performance on Broadway, takes a bow. By the way, Trae Young's not a top 10 player. Just to Knicks fans, he looks like a top 10 player. He dismantled the Knicks. You know, Trae Young has me thinking of Steph Curry. Let me tell you why. Bill James once wrote an article, the godfather of sabermetrics and baseball analytics. Bill James once wrote an article about Babe Ruth, the greatest baseball player ever, right? And everyone assumes that the end of the dead ball era in baseball came in 1920, when because Babe Ruth hit 19 home runs in 1919. And because there was something called the Black Sox scandals, you know, the White Sox threw the World Series, that baseball is looking to juice up offense, so they made the balls tighter and everyone started hitting more home runs. But what Bill James said is actually he doesn't buy into that entirely because not many people hit more home runs, just a handful. What he thinks happened is they were playing in a dead ball era where everyone was told you can't hit it over the fence. You'll strike out too much. You won't be successful enough. It's not worth it. Hit them where they ain't. Babe Ruth said, no, I'm a big, strong guy. I'm going to hit it over the fence. And he did. Babe Ruth, more than anything, was an act of his own imagination. And once he blazed the trail, others like Lou Gehrig and Jimmy Fox at the time, imitated. They weren't as good as him, but they approximated him. They were some version of him because he showed them the way. Well, that's Steph Curry. Steph Curry showed everyone the way. Steph Curry doesn't have the greatest handles ever, but his handles are really good, and he's willing to take risks with them. You know, sometimes you watch Steph, and you're like, he got away. Like, he's just hoping the ball was going to be there, and it, more or less it was. Unlike Kyrie, who's, like, super precise with it, right? Or a guy like AI back in the day. But Steph shows if you can really shoot, and he's the best shooter ever. You can shoot from far away, too. And you can practice shooting from far away. And if you have great handles, you can be daring with them. And soon enough, there's Damian Lillard doing a version of Steph Curry. Doesn't shoot it as well, but he's doing a version of Steph. Steph showed him the way. Trae Young, he's doing a version of Steph. Trae Young is not the most gifted ball handler. He's gifted. He's not the most gifted shooter. He's gifted. But he plays with a fearlessness and a confidence in his ability to get where he wants to go and to shoot from anywhere that Steph Curry does. And so he's a poor man's Steph Curry, who may be a little better under pressure than Steph. We'll see. But he dismantled the Knicks. The Knicks don't have anyone like him. Oh, that song could only mean one thing. On the Goodyear Hotline, Michael Thompson, father knows best, Lakers play-by-play man. He has sired three athletes who achieved at the highest level of professional sports, NBA and Major League Baseball, the great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. Michael.
Hey, Max, how you doing? How the wife? How the kids? How the family doing? How you doing all summer? I want to get buzzed like there's other people who call and ask how you doing.
Yes, thank you. Oh, yes, everything's great. But see, you and I can have a social call on the air. That's okay. You have a pass. That's right.
No, I agree. I agree with you, man. No. Get right to the point. That's what I want to hear when people call you.
Michael, is AD going to play tonight?
I believe so. No one's told me anything. They haven't released anything, but I believe he will. Guys, when you get this kind of injury, he's getting treatment around the clock. He's a competitor. He sees how much this team needs him. And I believe he's going to play. I'm just guessing like everybody else, but I believe he will.
Now, a lot of people say he must play. It's win or go home. It's game six. But here's how I balance that in my own mind, Michael. I don't, like, if he's getting medical advice, like, yeah, you could play on it maybe. but and deal with the pain. But there's a sizable chance that you can have a catastrophic injury such that you won't be right till the middle of next year. Do Lakers fans still want that? What would you advise him if there was a risk of a bigger injury? What would you do if you were AD? Would you play in Game 6 and jeopardize the following season? And by the way, as your son did, when Clay had to be taken out of that game. As KD did, hey, KD, there's a chance of an Achilles injury here. But meantime, those guys miss seasons. Or would you, if you were AD, say, I, it's better for my team even if I sit this one out?
Well, you know, he's been working out. He's testing it. He's not just sitting on the couch and guessing about it. So he's been working out, seeing how he feels. And if I was in this situation and if I felt like I could go, I would go. I would risk it. And I'm sure they're asking him, how's he feeling? He's letting him know how he feels. And if he feels he can play, then you got to let him play.
Michael, can LeBron still hit playoff mode?
Oh, yeah, and he will tonight. It's an elimination game. It's at home. If the Lakers lose this series, LeBron's the kind of guy who says, we're not going to lose this at home. We're going to make Phoenix win this in their building. So that's the attitude he's going to come out with tonight, and I think the whole Lakers team's going to come out with that attitude. We lose this series, it ain't going to be here in L.A.
Meantime, I don't know if anyone knows his whereabouts, but I'm getting concerned because there has not been a Dennis Schroeder sighting in these playoffs when you needed him most, and I feel that he's missing, and we may have to put out a search party pretty soon, Michael. Do you think we can find Dennis Schroeder in these playoffs?
You know, he had a good game 2 and 3. He did all right. Obviously, he had a horrible game 4, or game 5, I should say. But, yeah, Dennis is a big game for him tonight to rebound and come back and be more productive. Guys like him understand it. You know, you don't have to give him any kind of motivational speech or have to call him out or anything like that. When you're a competitor, a player of his caliber, you know you didn't play up to your, even close to your abilities. So he'll be ready tonight. He'll be aggressive tonight and really attack Chris Paul and make Chris Paul have to play defense.
I feel like Chris Paul saw him in an alley with a bag of candy and got him to get into a car or something. Like, where is he? Where is Schroeder? Michael, don't tell me about games 2 and 3. Your second best player goes down. You can steal a game on the road, at least step up. 9 shots, no point. Michael, your third best player who needed to step up had 0 points. Not a single point? How is this possible?
Yeah, I mean, we're human. Sometimes it happens. I played for the Lakers in the 88 season, and we got beat by 30 in Utah. And that's when you had Kareem, Worthy, and Magic, 3 Hall of Famers on a team. So you can have a bad game, Max. Not everybody's as perfect as you are in every show.
That's true. This is, by the way, it gets back to Teddy Roosevelt's Man in the Arena. He gave a speech overseas where he talked about, you know, as long as you try, sometimes you're going to fail, but you still get more glory than the critic who just points out where you stumbled. And yet, damn, Schroeder, I don't know if Man in the Arena applies to 0 points. I don't think Teddy Roosevelt, if he heard, hey, Teddy, 0 points. He needed to step up. Even Roosevelt would be like, yeah, I don't know about the Man in the Arena. That was Schroeder, better do something. Michael Thompson, Father Knows Best, Lakers play-by-play. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, you're right about that. A guy like Schroeder, Caldwell, both those guys understood they had 0 points, and you're right, their pride's going to make that Laker pride's going to show up tonight, Max. Don't you worry.
I hope so. I'm a little worried that the lack of respect that the Suns have for the Lakers shooters is also making it hard for LeBron because it's kind of crowded down in the painted area, Michael, and that takes away, you know, the most effective part of LeBron's game, scoring the ball at least. I think these guys have to step up and start hitting shots from the outside, no?
Oh, no question about it, Max. I think we're shooting like 20-something percent from 3 in his series, and these guys are better shooters than that. So maybe tonight they'll bounce out of this shooting slump from 3-point land and shoot. All they got to do is shoot like 35% from 3, and they can take control of the series.
Now, Michael, I know you and I talk some round ball. After all, you were the number one overall draft pick. You averaged 20 and 12. You won 2 championships. But I know you're a big fight fan. Logan Paul is boxing Floyd Mayweather. Floyd got, I think it was 12-ounce gloves. There's not going to be a decision rendered one way or another, but you can go for a knockout. What are you expecting? First of all, do you approve or disapprove of this matchup? And secondly, what are you expecting?
Oh, I love these kind of exhibition matchups. I like, it brings a lot of interest to the game. And since, like I said before, we were talking, since we can't get the best to fight against the best, you might as well go the exhibition route. And what Logan Paul has to do, he's basically got to turn this into a phone booth fight. He's got to turn this into a brawl. He can't stay on the outside and think he's going to outbox even a 44-year-old Floyd Mayweather. So he's got to brawl with Floyd. He's just got to maul him, try to be a white version of Marcos Maidana, that kind of fighter. Just be a brawler and a mauler.
No, I agree, but you know, Floyd has a way of controlling fighters, Michael. It's easier said than done, but his positioning and his defense is second to none, even at the age of 100 or whatever Floyd is right now. I found it hard to believe that a kid with as little experience as Logan Paul, who's a charming dude, like you can see why Logan Paul is popular, is going to be able to hang with him. The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. We can only hope, Michael, that LeBron comes through and the Lakers are still playing. After tonight, and you can hear Michael Thompson on Lakers games. He is the play-by-play guy, and that was Father Knows Best. Roger, it would be best to disconnect the call at this point. Thank you very much. Okay, now, very good. Thank you, Michael.
You always complain when we disconnect early, and this time we wanted to leave you.
Well, I have the feeling that he was already gone, and you guys just kept him on the line.
I mean, I'm not going to take any lessons from you about how to say goodbye to people. I mean,
all right, how do I say goodbye to people?
You're probably the worst person in the
history. You can't even say hi.
Like, show me how I say goodbye.
For all I knew, you were going to bring him back 3 minutes later.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye, Brendan. Jonathan in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, it seems to me that there are always two narratives in the same season with a LeBron James-led team, and I want your thoughts. The first narrative is any team he's on, they're a favorite to win the championship, which I completely agree with. But then if some type of adversity happens, like an Anthony Davis getting hurt or what have you, it's now LeBron has to carry a team of nobodies in order to win a championship. Why is that, and do you agree with that?
I do, but I think that's because of LeBron. LeBron got very frustrated in Cleveland. They weren't giving him anything to work with. Much like Jordan in Chicago once upon a time, he never got to play with an all-star. And so he had to be his own GM and put together his own team. But when you do that, when the team doesn't grow organically, you bring superstars together, you're probably going to have a thinner roster because, you know, if you drafted a superstar and then a superstar signs with your team and you've drafted the role players and you can then use bird rights and stuff to go through the salary cap, you can have some depth. But when you put three max contract players together, they even have to take haircuts to do it, and then there's very little money to sign really good players. So what winds up happening is players who've already had a good career and maybe can still be useful but are no longer really good sign for the vets minimum and stuff like that, right? Look at the Nets. They have Blake Griffin. That's a useful player. Not a great player anymore, but a useful player still. But you're not going to have a super deep roster usually. And so because LeBron has had to play his own GM and get him and another star or two together, those teams will have like two or three superstars, LeBron and one or two other guys, and then usually not other starting caliber players, right? Usually guys who are good rotation pieces, but not starting caliber. And then it is fair for the fans to say, okay, this is what you put together, LeBron, who basically acts as GM. Well, I mean, this is the danger in that, is that if someone gets hurt, you know, there's going to be more of a burden on you. Look, AD won some games late in the season without LeBron. LeBron's going to have to win a playoff game now, maybe without AD. Big Rob in Inglewood, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. And, of course, Big Rob, I need to know, are you up to any good?
Always up to no good.
Up
baby.
To no good. I just wanted to see. Know, yeah, I thought maybe Inglewood was up to some good now, but it's still up to, you know, no good.
No,
okay, yeah.
No, man, and we doing real good now, man, when these Lakers lose tonight. Mm. Listen up, Max.
Yeah.
The other thing, I'm tired of people making excuses for crybaby LeBron James.
Mm.
All right? It's not Dennis Schroeder's job to make sure the Lakers are ready to play. The only person's job it is LeBron James.
So are you a Clippers fan, Big Rob? Are you a Clippers fan?
No, I'm not. I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm a LeBron James hater.
I see. I can see that. But how could you be a LeBron hater? He plays for the Lakers.
Because this is the reason why. People are comparing him to Michael Jordan as one of the greatest players ever, and he is not the greatest player ever.
No, he's not.
Michael Jordan has that hands down.
Yeah,
and here's
that's true.
And Max.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, okay?
Yeah.
Real quick, and then you can answer it off air.
Okay. I'll answer
when Michael Jordan was in the league considered the best player in the whole world, no other player would dare put their hand up and fight against that. Right. But LeBron James, who's supposed to be the best player in the league, there's 2 to 3 other players who say,
because LeBron is 100 years old. When LeBron was in his prime, there was no one messing with him. He was worth twice as much as the next best guy. Look, Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. Michael Jordan at his best was better than LeBron James at his best. But LeBron is in that category of, you know, hey, is that the greatest player of all time? And his career has been much longer than Michael's at the highest possible level. So I prefer peak over career, so I'll take Jordan. But here's the problem, Big Rob. LeBron, you're a Lakers fan. LeBron James is not only a Laker, he just won the Lakers a championship. When you hate on LeBron, you are just hurting yourself. Don't, because what's going to happen is when he's not there anymore, you're going to be like, damn, why'd I do that? Everyone has experienced this. For whatever reason, you hate on a guy. Maybe he's even on the team you root for, a fighter, whatever. And then the guy's gone, you're like, damn, why'd I do that? I wasn't hurting anybody but myself. I should have enjoyed that. Just enjoy the fact that LeBron James is a Laker. What a knucklehead. Big Rob. Damn, you're just hurting yourself, Big Rob. Maybe if you were up to some good. But Noah Inglewood up to no good.
Yeah.
Hating on LeBron James. Michael Thompson, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Coming up, a big change coming for Lamar Jackson, plus your calls on the NBA playoffs. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good. Pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all in America's best network. So why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Lamar, like you've rarely seen him.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Changes for Lamar Jackson? Via Jameson Hensley of ESPN.com, Baltimore's offense will include plays with Jackson starting under center. Lamar Jackson's almost never under center. Offensive coordinator Greg Roman told reporters on Wednesday that indeed the change is coming to the team's approach. Quote, that's definitely going to be part of what we do this year, the percentage of which I cannot state at this point, Roman said. I don't know the extent of it, but we are working on it and evaluating it every day. That's good. It's the natural progression of a player to evolve when he's in the league. And I'm trying to think of, when you picture Lamar Jackson, Raj, can you ever picture him under center at all?
No, we talked about it during the break. Even when they're in goal line, he's rarely under center. I think it was like 4% or 3% of his entire snaps in 3 years.
Yeah, some stupid small percentage of his snaps. Look, of every team that Julio Jones could wind up on, I'd love to see him on the Ravens. Because Julio Jones is a I'll find out about you type player. I'll find out about your quarterback. Ravens have a real good offensive line. They have a running game. Obviously, they have a quarterback who can run. And they have okay receivers. They don't really have a dynamic receiving option. And Julio Jones is the kind of receiver that can fit into any style offense. It would give Lamar a real dynamic number one option, even if Julio's a little past it. I'd love to see it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Scotty in Spokane, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
All right, thank you, man. Over, under, how many flops is LeBron going to have tonight? Queen James, what the hell? Anyway, also, I want to see Brooklyn and Utah. That's like a battle of the best shooting team, which is Utah, and then a collective cast of characters that are just like stellar. KD's the best player on the planet.
You know, KD is not the best player on the planet, and the reason is he hasn't been playing defense. Like let me just say something. KD was on his way to maybe becoming the best player on the planet. He was closing the gap between LeBron and him. And when he got hurt, that was the most complete I've ever seen him play, in the sense that he was an excellent defender and could defend multiple positions at a high level. And he's always a great scorer. He's always a crazy efficient among the greatest scorers ever. But He was always a willing passer, but his size and the fact that he was playing with competent teammates made him a highly effective passer. The way, like, centers are effective passers when they're willing to pass the ball. And they have some talent to do it. And I thought that was that KD was something. That KD's not here anymore this year so far. He's willing to defend the toughest assignment, but he doesn't do it well this year. He has not done it well this year. He's been willing, but not effective defensively. Offensively, he's been great. You know, the passing, the obviously the scoring from anywhere. But I think given the defense, I don't think you could call him the best player. In fact, the Nets, if they didn't have Harden, if it was Kyrie and KD and Joe Harris and those guys, I wouldn't pick the Nets to get out of the East even. I think James Harden's the most important player on that team. Aaron in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Okay, let's get straight to the point, man. All this LeBron negativity, and, you know, I get it, father time. But let's not act like he wasn't down 3-1 to one of the best teams ever in the championship. You know, last time I checked, Jordan got eliminated, I believe, three times in the first round.
Not
LeBron's
exactly.
Not going home.
Not exactly. Let me explain something. The hate for LeBron from a Lakers fan, I don't get it either. But the whole thing about, well, Jordan got – no, not exactly. Jordan had never played with an all-star teammate. Never played with an all-star. Like, who had made the all-star team at any point in their careers. Like, up until they played with Jordan or after they played with Jordan. No all-stars. Of course you're not going to win in the playoffs. Soon as Jordan got an all-star teammate, Scottie Pippen, he took the defending champion the first time. First time he ever played with an all-star. And Pippen was, you could look at his numbers. He wasn't in his prime yet. He was just first all-star team he made. Not interested, Raj. First all-star team he made. First time Pippen made that all-star team, they took the Pistons 7 games. Pippen got a migraine, so he only scored 2 points in 40 minutes. In other words, once again, he wasn't an all-star. That is the only time LeBron got eliminated. Then he won the championship in under 7 games the next 3 years, went away for 2 years, came back, did it again. Let's see. Curtis in Oklahoma. You're on the Max. What is it, Raj? I'm trying to do a radio show here, Raj. What is it?
Me and B are like, man, but it still happened. You act like it didn't happen. That's all we're saying. It happened.
But if
Jordan was eliminated in the first round, I don't care.
It's misleading. And by the way, when you guys want to do that, get your own radio show and be my guest. Make that point all you want. Make the point all you want. When you get the Raj show, the Raj and Brendan show, you can make that point. All right, listen. Now, Brendan, just to get me back, has taken all my stuff off the screen. All right, we're going to get to more of your calls on Last Take. Brendan and Raj have very important points that you need to hear about Michael Jordan for some reason. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Just composing a tweet response to Chuck D, who tweeted about his Knicks fandom. I got to tell you something. Easy for Chuck to say, and Chuck D and guys like him lived through 2 Knicks championships. Raj, I've been on this earth almost a half century. I'll be 48 in a couple months. And I only got to hear the stories about the Knicks winning a championship. And even now, Clyde and Willis and all these guys, Dollar Bill Bradley, and even now, Dave DeBusschere, even now, I'm hearing from the Knicks, well, we're laying a foundation to one day be able to compete for a championship. Really? Do you know the last professional New York team to win a championship in basketball? Was the New York Nets. And they did it with a native New Yorker, Dr. J. He won the title in 1976 for the New York Nets in the ABA. New York Nets. Then they joined the NBA and they moved to Jersey, like the Giants and the Jets did. But they didn't have the sense to keep the New York name. They turned it to New Jersey Nets. Giants and Jets knew, yeah, we're playing in Jersey, but we're the New York Giants and Jets. Okay, everyone in New York's all behind them still. Okay, fine. So the Knicks ran unopposed for years. The Nets are back in New York. The team of Dr. J, the last team to win a championship, are in Brooklyn. And they're not talking about laying a foundation to one day, years from now, maybe it could be after 50 years of in the desert. No, they're saying, we're trying to win one right now. Right now. Knicks don't have the equity the Lakers have. Lakers built it in L.A. Like, hey, we can have a dry spell. Y'all better chill. He's giving you a lot of championships. Knicks are just like, hey, remember, we were the only game in town, so you have to like us. No. No, we don't. No one does. No, no. The Nets are in town. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman show today? It was a tick above average show, I'd say. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. I mean, like, your life's not going to change if you missed the podcast, but you might enjoy it.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
I'm going to get to your last take. Remember, no what's up, Max. Hey, Max, just get to it. Terrence in Wisconsin, go.
Max, thanks for the time. Listen, I want really quick, I want to talk about the Lakers. The last game I just watched, if Jordan was in that game and Pippen was out, it would have been a lot closer. It just looked like LeBron doesn't have any more. I don't know.
LeBron's a million years old.
I'm telling you.
No player who's ever played the number of minutes in the NBA as LeBron has ever been nearly as good as LeBron is right now, but he's a million years old. Steve in South Dakota, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Don't blame L.A. for the hate for LeBron. Blame the LeBron fans. When he came to L.A., all talking about how LeBron is already the greatest Laker of all time.
What? Who said that? He will never be.
Oh, all the fans. Even the media was asking that.
Well, you could argue LeBron is the greatest player to ever play for the Lakers, because you could argue, outside of Jordan, he's the greatest player ever. He or Kareem, maybe, right? Who also played for the Lakers. But I don't think most people have LeBron on the Laker Mount Rushmore, let alone as the all-time greatest Laker. Magic and Kobe, Kareem and Jerry West, probably, as a player and an executive. Not to mention guys like Shaq. No, LeBron's not on the Mount Rushmore of Lakers, but he's a Laker great. He won a championship in his second year with the team. YG in Kentucky, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
I'm going to leave you with a quick one, Max. I think Charles Barkley got it wrong by calling him Street Clothes Davis. I think they should call him Humpty Dumpty. And he fell off the wall, and he can't put them back together again. Thank you.
Curtis in Oklahoma, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Do you have the Nets in game 5 or 6? And then out of all the X-Factors like KD, Kyrie, you know, the main stars, who would be the X-Factor of the series?
James Harden is going to control the series. And I don't know if the Nets had enough time to get the defense together to take them out in 5 or 6 games. It could go 6 or 7, but I believe the Nets beat the Bucks. I think they have too much firepower. And the Bucks' greatest chance is if the Nets don't get the defense together in time. But I saw them in the regular season. It took 2 or 3 weeks, and their defense was good enough. And, you know, the postseason, you have more rest between games. It's been 5 games plus the rest between series. It's going to be with practice and everything and guys healthy all together for the first time. It's going to be like almost 2 weeks-ish, something like that. Might be just enough time for them to take out the Bucks in 5 or 6 games. Cruz in Portland, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, big fan, first-time caller. I just want to ask you about Damian Lillard, a huge Portland fan, and I don't think he's going anywhere regardless of what happens, but your thoughts on if we don't make it?
No, I don't think he's going anywhere. Dame's not going anywhere. Dame is going to stick it out, and it may cost him a championship. Look, being in the Pacific Northwest, being in Portland, you need a GM who's not just good. Olshay's good. You need a great GM because you need to draft guys who develop into stars, and you need to have enough draft kind of capital to make moves where you can trade for stars who may not re-sign with your team, so you have to overpay for them. Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum are an excellent start. The hope was that Nurkic could develop into more than he's become. And so I think Portland's going to have to make a move that brings in a third player who's also excellent in order to really compete for a title. But I don't think Dame is going anywhere. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. First of all, I think LeBron's the second best to Wilt, but I just like to go see him choose the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And my Clippers, if they lose, they're going to be the biggest laughing stock ever. Home field advantage.
Wow.
Can these two superstars score more than 40?
Wow. Well, I mean, I can't say they're the Clippers were once the biggest laughing stock ever, but there is something hilarious about the Clippers to Lakers fans, because even when the windows cracked open for you, look, the league undid the Chris Paul trade. Not only did they maybe illegally stop him from going to the Lakers back when, but then they sent him to the Clippers. They let the Clippers trade go through. And they had Lob City, and Kobe was at the end, and the Lakers were capped out, and they couldn't get anyone to take their money, and they were the worst team in the league, and the Clippers were high-flying, and they couldn't get out of the second round. The window was open. Then they signed Kawhi and Paul George and the whole thing, and the Lakers are racked with injuries now, and it's the Clippers' time. They can really, and they're going to blow it again. There's something about the Clippers that Lakers fans really take pleasure in their misery, because it seems like they only ever get to be miserable. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. We have Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up in another fantastic episode of this program on tap for you tomorrow. What can I tell you? Get your friends to download the podcast or stream it. I don't care if they listen. I just like credit for the downloads. ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.